The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you." Jesus said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The Gospel of the Lord. Saturday, we had the parable of the sower and the seed, and Mary, of course, is the one who shows us what good soil is that produces abundant fruit. Today, in this encounter, we see why she is one to be followed. And we learn two great lessons. First, what the Lord is asking of us. He came down from heaven to earth in order to be able to teach us a Marian path. When the people here say that she's outside with his relatives, there's no distinction, the apologetic point between brothers and cousins, it's all relatives in Hebrew. Your mother and your relatives are standing outside wishing to see you. Jesus, without breaking the fourth commandment, without any type of Mariolatry or destruction of Marian piety, says exactly the opposite. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Mary is a doer of the word whose whole life develops secundum verbum tuum. And the Lord wants us to learn from her how to do that. But it's not just as simple as hearing and doing. The Lord wants way more than obedience in us. He wants obedience, but he wants more. He wants us to see the wisdom of the path. It's not, strictly speaking, necessary in order to be able to do it, but it makes it so much more rich when we recognize that the path that he's asking us to take is not some arbitrary, wacko path, but the path that really leads to true human development and fulfillment. And that's where our psalm comes in. When we pray to the Lord for the grace to be guided in the way of his commands, make me understand the way of your precepts. I'll meditate on your wondrous deeds. Give me discernment that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commands, for I delight in it, and I'll keep your law continuously. The Lord wants us to be able to grasp this is the path, so that, as we say, the way of truth I have chosen. He wants us not to do it as an extrinsic thing alone, simply because he said it and we have faith in him and therefore we act. But he wants us, having received his light, to understand it, to choose the way of truth, to choose it with our heart. The book of Proverbs today helps us to nourish it even further still. You know, we could have several proverbs a day for an entire year, and it would be enough for us to meditate upon. The church gives us 3 days every 2 years, and yesterday we lost one of the three as we heard the gospel that was proper for the feast of Saint Matthew. But here we could focus on just two of the proverbs. God tells us through the sacred writer to do what is right and just. It's more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. This sacrifice here initially refers to the sacrifice of animals, of course. We could also put in our own sacrifices, our own logikē latreia, the living sacrifice that we make of our entire person to the Lord, How beautiful that is. It's a summary of all Christian spirituality. At the same time, sacred author, inspired by God, is telling us that to do what is right and just is even more pleasing. To do in what we've been talking about here, hearing what God is asking, discerning in it the way of truth, choosing it, is what the Lord really wants, because that's the way we become most His image. At the end of today's passage, it says, the just man appraises the house of the wicked. And that goes to the end of the whole Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says the wise man is the one who hears His word and builds his life on it. It's like somebody constructing a house on solid rock that can withstand all the storms. But the foolish man is the one who hears and doesn't observe it. God wants us to choose the way of wisdom, for it's right and just. That's the first point today. The path that the Lord wants us to choose. You know, every day when you come here, if you happen to go out there, there's the inscription on the frontispiece. It should be lived in a particularly joyful way. Beati qui ambulant in lege Domini. Blessed are those, doesn't say, who know the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord, who choose it, who follow the Lord along that path. Those are the ones who are truly blessed. Those are the ones who are truly wise. Those are the ones who are Christian. Those are the ones who are married. Second great lesson today is that Jesus came not just to show us individually how to walk in His ways. He came to found a family. And that's why Jesus says, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are those who hear the word of God and act on it. The path to genuine fraternity, the path to live out our divine filiation, the path, even as St. Ambrose would say, to the motherhood of God, to giving birth to God within, to growing, becoming pregnant with Him, and being able to share Him with others, is this path of hearing, choosing, and doing. There's a lot of division in the world. There's a lot of division in the church. It all basically comes because we're not collectively hearing the word, choosing it, and doing it. We see so many of the problems in the world come from sin, from this failure to listen to the word of God as where it's to be done. But we also see in the church that all of the divisions are flowing from here too. Just think about what happens if you live at the border between Poland and Germany. One Episcopal conference is working very hard to teach the people the true faith. The other Episcopal conference is having a synod trying to change a whole bunch of absolutely rock-solid teachings because it's contrary to the zeitgeist in their own opinion. When I was a high school chaplain, the toughest assignment I ever had, and I had a few tough ones, was when I was a high school chaplain. The Jesuits had been there, and the Jesuits of the New England province remain in many places still wacko. A lot of them are teaching the gospel of homosexual love rather than the gospel of life and love. And that had infiltrated the school. And so there was a real culture of dissent among the faculty. And they were tearing each other apart. And when I was meeting with the whole faculty in a faculty meeting to talk about the needs of the church and everything of the division, which was palpable to the naked eye, but what is coming up over the table, I said, listen, it's good points. How are we going to become one? It's not going to be sitting down and trying to find some lowest common denominator consensus. And I went into my briefcase and I took out two books. I said, if we want real communion here, and is there anybody who doesn't? If you don't want it, put up your hands, I said. And nobody had the courage, but I also think nobody wanted division. I said, the way to do it, and I slapped two books down on the conference table, is the Bible and the Catechism. If we're going to have any communion here, there has to be one faith, and this is where we find it. We're not going to be finding it in the pages of Common Will in America. We're likewise not going to be finding it in the New Oxford Review and the Wanderer. We're going to find it in God. Well, once I said that, it was kind of like St. Paul in Jerusalem saying that the reason why he was arrested was because he believed in the resurrection of the dead. They started to try to rip me and rip others apart, but it's true. If we're going to have true communion, if we're going to have that true family that Jesus wants, if we're going to fulfill his prayer from the Last Supper, it has to come truly from this basic communion and people listening to God's word and acting on it. In religious life, one of the main tensions that come on up is when there's truly not this communal listening and it's not clear that there's a communal listening. When, for example, a superior would get a sense that she's making calls on whims, rather than on listening to God about what God wants for someone who is entrusted to her. That's where tension breaks down. Yesterday, I was spending some time, even though it's the busiest week, trying to help sisters in one convent in which the priest is losing it because of COVID-19. And so he thought, absolutely opposite to science, that lest any host carry COVID and infect him because he's afraid to die, it's a sad thing, put the consecrated host in the freezer. And so the sisters just said, okay, we're going to do it with the superiors. We'll put the consecrated host in the freezer. And when the other sisters found out, they said, that's a sacrilege. Putting Jesus next to the frozen chicken and the ice cream. Are you kidding? It was a total mess. And the whole mess comes from somebody being disobedient, others following down that road, contrary to our faith in the Holy Eucharist, our love for Jesus, the rubrics of the Church. I could go on with an entire litany. It all happens from this lack of listening to what God wants, choosing it, and doing it. Today, we come here to do what is right and just. That's where the words of the preface dialogue come from today's reading from Proverbs. To do what is right and just, and to thank Him for giving us His holy word, for giving us His light, for guiding us in the way of His holy law. We ask His grace, like Mary, to choose it and observe it with all our heart, and then to become so filled with that word that we might become living commentaries, credibly drawing other people to the type of communion that comes from hearing, loving, and doing. Praise be Jesus Christ.